Merhaba ve hoş geldiniz. Hello and welcome to Talking Round North Cyprus, the podcast that gets people talking all around North Cyprus. I'm Sarah Palmer and I love having a holiday apartment there, and I bought one there many moons ago. But I'm not as lucky as my co-host Raja Bara, who is enjoying his long retirement there. I'm not in the least bit jealous as he's dancing around, waving around, saying, yes, get me, get me. Anyway, Rog, how are you? You got the family over at the moment. How are they enjoying their time over there with you?
Yeah, loving it. It's my youngest son and his Scandinavian family. They live in Copenhagen. Sunshine every day is something that's quite new to them. And of course, it's very, very hot by their standards, even though their weather back home recently has been quite good. The routine sort of is swimming in one of 14 pools they've got in their resort. Then we go for lunch somewhere, meet up. They'll come to our place and then go in the jacuzzi, and then behind us we have an aqua park. So we go there, and about 5 o'clock at night, the adults are absolutely knackered, and the kids are raring for more. You know what it's like. So yeah, they're having a great time, but they're tiring us out, and they're tiring their parents out. I can tell you, three girls, they're aged 13, 7 and 4, Emmy, Nova, and Aura, and they are full on the whole
Yeah.
time.
I bet you'd be glad of a break, but it's lovely to have them there, isn't it? That's the thing. And it's great that they can be there and enjoy it and just, not have to worry about anything. So that's perfect. So, yeah, it seems to sort of be a big holiday. So, what's sort of happening as we enter the first day of July?
Not a lot happening. As you say, it's the holiday period here. It's their big celebration, their Eid al-Adha. And you'll hear a lot of people say Happy Eid by saying Eid Mubarak. And it lasts about 4 days. And Muslims are supposed to perform an act of friendship by slaughtering a sheep and distributing the meat to family and to the poor. And they're also encouraged to be especially friendly and reach out to one another during this period. But it's difficult to tell because they're like that anyway, most of them.
Yes.
They're so lovely that they don't have to try and be especially friendly because they always are. So, yeah, so very little happening. The banks and the government offices are all shut for most of this past week. Things will get back to normal this coming Monday. So it's nice and quiet at the moment.
That's good. Yes, I happened to catch the sheep thing because a friend of mine, in fact, we interviewed her on the podcast. If you look back to the Kazakh one, my friend Sara, who comes from Kazakhstan and she has her own property business in North Cyprus, she does loads on Instagram because she, it's part of her promotion for her business. One minute she was at the market and there were all these goats and everything. And then the next minute, there weren't so many goats, and I was like, "Ooh, oh no! Oh, I wasn't expecting that." I was like, "This should come with a health warning." But I was like, "Yes, I guess that's what you do. You share, and everything." So yes, I wasn't ex I wasn't expecting the goat thing, and obviously it's being celebrated. I live in Leicestershire, and Leicester big, population, and it's very multicultural. So Eid is celebrated here as well. But talking about holidays and exciting news. I've booked to come over, Roger, in August. I've got a little bit of a gap in my apartment. I rent my apartment out, and I saw that there was about a 10-day gap in August. And so I bit the bullet and I got the cheapest flight I could possibly find. I haven't even booked myself a seat. I've got hand luggage, which I'm hoping I can just squeeze everything in. I've got clothes there. It leaves at 5 to 10 at night and gets in about 4:30 in the morning. So anyway, yes. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting over, and hopefully when I'm there, you and I can do a couple of things together and maybe, record a few bits and pieces for the podcast.
Oh, we look forward to that. It'll be good to see you again. You say you haven't got a seat on the plane. Does that mean you're going to stand, or are you going to sneak in the lav, or what?
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I haven't paid to have a numbered seat because it's just me. But who knows? It's Wizz Air. So who knows? I mean, I could well be standing at the back. So I think I'll just be allocated a seat as I get. I'll probably be stuck in the middle of a three and trying to sleep.
Good luck with that. That's funny, Wizz Air, if you read social media here in North Cyprus, about 50% say they're absolute rubbish, would never travel on them again. And the other 50% say, well, we've never had a problem. It's been on time, it's cheap, it's cheerful. Let's hope you have a good one.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's just me, and as I say, once I get there, once I get to North Cyprus, that's all I care about, to be honest. So as long as I'm not delayed. Right, well, as we haven't sort of got too much news then, why don't we crack on with our special guest for this episode? And Rog, someone you've been looking forward to interviewing for some time now.
Yes, now how will I describe her? She's Fez, bubbly, outgoing, enthusiastic in all that she does. Most of all, I and other people find her so inspirational, both as a person and just listen to what she actually says. And how I first met her, we actually mentioned in the conversation you're about to hear. But first of all, everyone knows her as Fez, three letters, plain and simple, Fez. So where did that come from?
In the Turkish traditions, you are usually named after the granddad or the grandmother. And I was named after my grandmother, Fezile. I've grown up to like my name, but it becomes a bit difficult, so I prefer to be called Fez.
Fez, tell us about your early life. I know nothing about you whatsoever, so this is going to be really interesting for me. Where were you born and bred?
My parents are originally from Northern Cyprus. My dad went into England in the 1960s. My mum went at the end of 1960s. So they were both originally from Cyprus, but life just changes your path. So they ended up in England. They got married there, and I was born in London. I was brought up in Southeast London, right next to Westminster Bridge. My grandfather had a three-story house, typically like a Turkish family. We all lived together, and we with my uncle and my aunt as well. Our family from one child increased to three children, so my parents bought a house in Streatham. So we moved to Streatham when I was in secondary school, and I carried on school there, and then I went to college, and then I went to work for Customs and Excise for 2 years. But then I knew my husband because he's a second cousin, something typical that happens in Cyprus. So we've known each other since we've been very, very young. He's older than me. So we decided to move to Cyprus. So I had to resign from the job that I really loved. And I moved to Cyprus, and since then I've been here.
What motivated the move to North Cyprus?
Because of my husband's work. He was a civil servant, so we had to move to Cyprus, really.
Okay, so you were born, bred, educated in England. I just wonder how you found Cyprus when you first got here. What were your initial impressions?
Well, the first flight was in 1990. So when I landed in, when I was landing into Cyprus, I saw all these lights. I said, oh, okay, it's just like London. So that was a bit of a disaster, because once I got out of the airport, it was all dark. I said, where are the lights? And my husband said to me, oh, that's in the south. We are in the north. I said, wow, okay. So we just went to my husband's house, and it was just all like dark. It's just a couple of street lights. And I thought, wow. So since that day to this day, it has changed immensely.
It sounds you weren't over-impressed when you first
No,
got
I
here.
Wasn't actually, because firstly, you needed to put the heater on to heat water to have a shower, which we're not used to in England. There was no central heating. You had these gas fires, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to poison myself. The houses are freezing. You need to go to use the some other places, and you freeze by the time you get out of the room and into the corridor. So we have had some very tough times. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were lots of times when I did say, what am I doing in this country? But I think it's the love that I had for my husband that made me stay, because I had all of my family in London. There was no one really here, just a few relatives. But something inside of me made me become a fighter. I didn't want to give up, because I thought, I've come here for a reason. I'm going to stick at this reason, see how it's going to go.
And how do you feel now, all these years later?
Well, I never thought I would say that I love living in Cyprus, but I do. It's taken me some time, but I've come to appreciate that I am in the country that I'm meant to be living.
Whenever there's a Tulips event for the Tulips charity,
Fez is always there. How did you get involved, and what's your motivation in doing so much for the charity?
In my life, I have seen that life is very short, and I've always had this idea in my head that try to make the most of every single minute of our lives, because life is so precious. We don't know what we're going to meet every single day of our lives. So years ago, when I moved to, because I used to live in Nicosia, when we moved to Kyrenia, I realised that there's so many English people. I said, all these English people are moving to Cyprus, but do they know what they're eating? What are they buying in the bakery, or in the groceries? So I said to one of my friends, who's a very good cook, why don't we start giving English people some Turkish cooking classes? So we started off in my mum's flat, and we were giving them lessons. We were teaching people what all the kolakazes and all these cakes and stuff. And
I'm like, menemen.
Menemen, yeah, we started that as well, but typical Turkish ones. So I met Sue Tilt, and we become friends. And then she said to me sometime later, would you like to become a volunteer? We need volunteers. I said, yeah, of course, I'm going to come. So I think it's been nearly 10 years ago that I've met Sue, yeah. And since then, I've become a volunteer for Tulips. So whenever Sue wants me to help around, I go and help. But I help every month on the Tulip stall that's in Lambusa. And 3 years ago, I became a translator. So I help the English nurse. I translate for her, and I get the appointments in the Turkish hospitals. And I translate what the Turkish nurses want to Louise. So we've got this really nice community of a triangle, really, of helping each other.
I first met you at a cancer support group last year. And you gave an amazing motivational speech. And that's what you do with children, isn't it? Tell us about that.
From a young age, I've always loved children. I always get on with them. Well, I do get on with a lot of people, but I prefer children sometimes, because just they're just so innocent, you know. Yeah. And they're just looking into your eyes, and they're just looking to see what you're going to say. So I think it's about, it must be about 8-9 years ago, I heard about a course called Relax Kids. It's called Relax Kids, but it's for adults too. It was a training in Birmingham. I went and had the training, and I got my certificate. And since that day, I have been teaching Relax Kids in Cyprus. I have been teaching in private schools and in some state schools. I have I had after school clubs, and I had weekends with the children. I had mums and children groups, and that was going really, really well. And then it's been 2 years now that I'm in a school called GAU, that's in Kyrenia, and I'm the PSHE teacher. I teach the Relax Kids skills as well. It's children, well, I think children, but for everybody, really, it's getting to the root. And the root is trying to teach children from a young age to love and appreciate themselves the way they are. Trying not to compare themselves to other children, and teaching them life skills. So that's what I really want to do. When we look back on our lives, what are we going to be leaving on earth? You know, in my life, it's not the money that I'll be leaving, which I don't really have that much, but still, I appreciate what I do have. But to leave little imprints in people's hearts, that's what I would love to do.
Do children really need relaxing?
To be quite honest with you, I think it's the parents that need it, because I'm teaching all these kids all these beautiful things, but when they go home, and you know, nobody's home is, you know, pure and white and no problems. Everyone's got problems. But if the parents would be able to, if you're going to have an argument, for example, go to a room and argue. You know, children don't need to be a part of an argument, because you'll just make up with your partner, but you are hurting that child. And emotionally, that child inside is crying out for help because they don't realise what is happening. I tried to do this with my children, and I think to some point I achieved this. I'm not saying I never argued in front of my children. Of course I did, but not the major ones that people do have that do disturb children for the rest of their lives.
Give us some examples of what you teach the children.
I teach a lot of the things with stories. So I don't, you know, I haven't got this book in front of me and say, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. I give them examples of things that they can try out. You know, I give them stories about why do different kind of birds travel like a triangle. There's a leader at the front and the others are following. It's showing you how friendship is. If that bird was to fly by itself, it wouldn't be flying so fast. But because they're flying as a group, they're having more speed. So if the leader gets tired, the others make noise at the back so they can change. And if one of them becomes ill, two of the birds come down, see that that bird gets better and comes back to another crowd of birds. So I'm showing them different examples, and that's when they start to appreciate it. So I think with stories and explanations, I think that's what's helping the children to, because it's a story and explanation is good, they combine it better with their own lives. So that's what my main thing is, to try to teach these children sharing, have some compassion, kindness, and love.
How does that translate then to adults? As I say, I first met you when you gave an amazing motivational speech that I thought about for weeks after. Do adults appreciate it as much as children?
You know what it is, because from a young age, unfortunately, being brought up in different families, we've been embedded with different thoughts and ideas. I mean, for example, I mean, being brought up in London, I know from the English community, the majority do not show their feelings too much. They think that crying is not acceptable. Unfortunately, it does happen in the Cypriot as well, but Cypriot people a bit more show their emotions. Yeah. They like to cuddle, they like to give a kiss, but with the English people, it's a bit more different. But I think a lot of the English people moving to Cyprus have started to do this. I said to one of my English friends, "You're so friendly in Cyprus. Was you like this in England?" She said to me, "No, because the way that we're brought up, it wasn't really normal. But now I think people are waking up. There's nothing wrong with giving a cuddle. I mean, COVID's over and done with. And when I see my friends, it's always like a cuddle, and I think connection, body connection, is very, very important."
You mentioned COVID then. Tell us a bit about your experience of COVID, because it was something none of us had ever experienced before, and it affected every single person on this planet. What was it like for you and your family?
Well, for me and my family, we were at home all together, but I did 3 sessions on the internet for lots of people. I was giving Relax Kids lessons, and in the evenings, I had talks. I did different talks for everybody. So I was showing people different breathing techniques. So I had a group of people, quite a big group of people, every night waiting for me to do the breathing techniques and talking to them. And then after COVID finished, I had so many people sending me messages, "Why are you not carrying on?" I said, "Okay, I'll try to, but as life takes you," I didn't carry on. But I still remember that I did bring some light into people's lives. In their darkest nights, they were listening to me and trying to do the breathing, and the talks that I were doing, they did get inspired, I believe.
And I expect that was beneficial for you as well.
It was beneficial for me because I knew that I was doing something in these darkest days for people. And I was just wishing that people would appreciate how lucky we were to be healthy now and not to forget those days, to have that reminder. But unfortunately, people forget very easily. They've forgotten that we were walking around in masks and not being able to breathe properly. And now we have this breath, and people don't appreciate it.
You recently become a grandmother, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Tell us about that.
I mean, after so many years of having your children, and then this bundle of happiness, this beautiful little girl called Masal, which means fairy tale, comes into your life, and it's this kind of different love. It's you can't compare it to your children's love. You know, the love is different, because the things that you wish that you could have done for your children, you're doing for your granddaughter or your grandchild now. So it's a complete different atmosphere. I'm constantly speaking in English because I want her to speak in English, and everyone's talking to her in Turkish, but she's so clever, she understands both languages. So it's a very good experience for her too.
What's the future for you? here in North Cyprus?
My future here is, I'll definitely be living here for the rest of my life, hopefully. Going backwards and forwards to England because my family, my brothers are still in England. Yeah. It makes me, I love them, but I miss them. Mm-hmm. But I know that this is the place for me to be. And I think I need more things to be done in this country, for especially the younger generation. As we can see with this technology, it's stolen their childhood. We don't see children playing in the streets. But I think there's a lot of things for the parents to do. It's very easy for us to be giving these phones and these tablets to these children, but please, you're poisoning your children's brains. They need to wake up. Because of this technology and the things that they're seeing, it's not making them healthy. It's making them unhealthy and unsatisfied and not feeling the gratitude that we should be feeling. There's lots of things in this country that are free. We don't need money. We can just make sandwiches, flask of coffee or some fruit juices, take your kids down to the beach, go up to the mountains. This is all free, but unfortunately some things in England, they're with money. You know, you have to, if you're gonna go to a museum, you need money. Okay, that's an experience for children. But for the children to be in the open air, it's much better for them when they're growing up.
So they should be climbing trees instead of looking at their iPads.
Yes, yes. But I think the parents need to get up and see and wake up now. It's waking up time.
Before we finish, I know that you have one major ambition in life. and it's an extraordinary one in many ways. You would love to open an old people's home. Tell us about your wishes. Go on.
I'm not going to say old people's home. I'm going to say a paradise home. Okay. It's going to be like paradise. I mean, from a young age, we're growing up, we're doing things for our families and what have you. But when you come to an older age, I don't want people to sit at home and just wait for someone to come and visit them. I want people to enjoy the best of their lives, which is the end of their lives, to have maybe a swimming pool in front of them, to have reading rooms, play rooms, for these people to enjoy the rest of their lives. And when they do leave this earth to go somewhere nice, to be leaving this earth, been happy, not to be sad and not to have this sorrow in their hearts. So that is my ambition. And I am going to put this to the universe that I will have that one day. This beautiful home called paradise.
That's Fez finishing there telling us about her great wish. And let's hope, Sarah, that her dream does come true. Knowing Fez, I'm sure it will one day.
Absolutely. She certainly sounds like a woman who gets what she wants, and she's just so passionate about what she wants to do as well. And I'm guessing that sort of care homes like that would be useful. I know it's a sort of a different society. A lot of people there look after their own, don't they? And older people stay with the family. And something that perhaps, you know, us Brits are not so used to. We have a lot of social care.
And also, Sarah, bear in mind that a lot of us expats who are the wrong side of 70, a lot of us are not going to be able to live by ourselves, especially if we lose the partner. What happens to us then? Do we really want to spend the last few years of our life in the godforsaken UK? Sorry, I didn't mean to rub it in. It's a real point. You know, we could do with a lot of old people. In fact, you know, I know we've already put it to one or two developers over here. You should think about when you're building, you know, a block of 15-story apartments, you know, have the ground floor maybe, you know, with a warden and with all the necessary ingredients inside to help push buttons and stuff like that. And they'd make money because most expats, you know, got a bit of spare cash, and if they sell where they're living at the moment, they will have money to buy into what could be an old people's home. But we'll see what happens. Yes. As I always say on this podcast, we'll see what happens.
Yabash, yabash and all that. Yes, indeed. Yes, we'll watch out. Lovely. Well, thank you very much indeed to Fez for joining us on our podcast. And if you would like to, then please do get in touch. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Talking Round North Cyprus. We also have an email address, which is trnc.podcast@gmail.com. I'm Sarah Palmer.
And I'm Roger Barra. We'll both talk to you again soon.